Well, amen. Thank you, choir. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 23 through 31 in just a moment. Y'all better be careful. Somebody's going to think y'all love Jesus or something. Amen. I hope they do. Acts chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 23 through 31. In talking with people, sometimes it can be very obvious that they're not listening. They may nod occasionally, they may grunt occasionally, but in talking to them, you realize they're not engaged in what you're saying. It's usually at that point in a conversation where I like to just drop in a word or a phrase that has nothing to do with anything else that I'm saying, just to prove my point. By the way, I'm not talking about when I'm up here preaching, although I do notice when you're not paying attention. But anyway, and I'm sure that none of you ladies have ever felt that way when you were talking to your husband. Sure, none of the men in here would ever do that. Let's just be honest. We men are worse about listening than you ladies are. But let's also be just as honest. Let's also be just as honest to say we all tend to hear what we want to hear. When it comes to talking with God, some people want to know if he's really listening. They want to know if it's possible that God could actually care about what's going on in our daily lives. I am absolutely confident that God listens to our prayers, that he even desires to spend time with us, to fellowship with us. But I don't want you to trust my word on that. I want you to take a look at his word, and then you can draw some conclusions based on what we see there. So does God really listen when I pray? Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assemble together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servants may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is absolute truth. And God, I thank you that you are the unchanging God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, as we study this text this morning, remind us that you haven't changed. Remind us that you are still powerful. And God, help us to understand a little more about prayer today and apply that in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, God, that you might increase, that your truth would be spoken here. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to take a look at four elements of prayer as we seek to answer our question, does God listen when we pray? The first element of prayer is the concern to pray. The concern to pray. We read in verse 23 that they had just been released. Well, it's important to know who the they was. The they was Peter and John, and they had just been released from prison for having the nerve to go around preaching the good news. And not only did they preach the good news, they actually healed somebody. Now, I think we'd all agree they deserve to be thrown in jail for that. They were proclaiming the truth of God's word, and yet they found themselves in prison. They had been brought before the high priest and all the elders and leaders of the Jewish people. And when they were asked by what authority they did this healing, Peter spoke with boldness and said that it was done by the authority of the Christ, the one you crucified. The same guy denied Christ three times. Not many days before this, the same guy, however, had seen a risen Christ. And he was emboldened because he knew Christ was indeed alive. The high priest and the leaders couldn't do anything to them because the man they had healed was one they knew had been lame for so long. Whether it was whole life or not, we really don't know. But either way, he had been lame for so long and now he was well. He was healed. So they couldn't say, well, that didn't really happen, because he was walking, living, breathing testimony that it did. And they said, okay, just don't preach in the name of Christ anymore. And of course, Peter's bold response was, whether it's right to obey man or God, I'll let you decide. But as for us, we're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep proclaiming the truth of God. But as soon as they were released, they went back to be with the others. We really don't know who all was present there. It could have been a large group, or it may have been the same group that had been there in the upper room. But either way, they wanted to be with the other believers and to tell them what happened and what God had done through them. The great lesson that we need to see here is that the adversity that they faced caused them all to pray. Isn't it true in our lives that so many times when we have struggle in our lives, when we go through trial, it drives us to our knees? Barb, I didn't even ask permission because I don't have this in my sermon. It's not in my notes, but you shared something the other day. I hope it's okay if I share it here. Carl and Barb lost a son, and it's been several years ago now. He was 29 years old and was killed on a motorcycle. She shared with us the other day when we were at the CLC how that was a time in their life where she felt the closest to God. Folks, trials drive us to our knees and they drive us to the face of God. These men were in prison, their lives being threatened, and yet they felt the closest to God. We need those struggles. We need those trials. We need that burden, that concern in our lives to pray. Warren Wiersbe says of Christians today, too often today, believers gather for prayer as though attending a concert or a party. There's little sense of urgency and danger because most of us are comfortable in our Christian walk. If more of God's people were witnessing for Christ in daily life, there would be more urgency and blessing when the church meets for prayer. I'm not being unkind or ugly when I say this, but if you want to kill a meeting, call it prayer meeting. Tell church folk you're going to meet to pray. Folks, we need to understand that the darkness is great around us and the only one who can impact it is God himself. And we must cry out to him. Now, that's not to say that we have to gather all the time to pray, because obviously each one of us as individual believers can pray. But there are times when the need is so great, and we are living in one of those times when we need to gather to pray, when we need to cry out to God, and we need to beg him to change lives. If we really get a burden for the lost around us, we will be burdened for prayer. We'll be burdened to cry out to God to change lives, to change our lives so that we'll have an impact on others. Don't we want to be so full of God that we just pour out on others because we can't help but to talk about him? It should concern us that there's so many lost around us. But generally speaking, unfortunately, we as believers are comfortable in our faith. We are asleep in the light. And yet there are so many around us who are lost in darkness. God wants us to cry out to him. God wants us to be burdened for the lost around us. Isn't it amazing how we become so motivated to pray when things get tough, when we need God to bail us out of a problem? We become very spiritual. We become very somber when things are going difficult, when things are difficult in our lives. We become people of prayer. I mentioned Jonah last week. I'll remind you of him again. Jonah wanted to do what God wanted him to do, except for one thing: go to Nineveh. And what did God want him to do? Go to Nineveh. So Jonah said, nah, you know, there's probably some people in Tarsus that need to hear the good news. So I'm gonna head off to, but no, that's not where God wanted him. Now you gotta understand, Jonah hated the Ninevites. Whatever it is for you, and we all have our issues, whoever it is, whatever kind of people it is, whatever group of people it is that you would have the hardest time ministering to, that's what Nineveh was to Jonah. But it's amazing how when he found himself in the belly of a fish, his prayer life got really strong. And all of a sudden, he became obedient. God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Listen, I don't know what your Nineveh is, but are you willing to cry out to God and say, wherever you want me to go, I'll go? You see, sometimes it's just across the street. Sometimes it's just that simple of being willing to go to that person that it's been difficult for you. Sometimes it's a family member. I don't know what that Nineveh is for you, but I know this. God wants each of us to be his light and his witness to those around us. And it is important for us to have a concern to pray. And because of the darkness around us, we ought to be concerned enough to pray. The second element of prayer is the cornerstone upon which to pray. Now, when the apostles and believers present began to pray, they didn't build their prayer on their thoughts. Instead, they prayed the Word of God. What a novel idea. God's given us his word. You want to pray in God's will? Pray his word. Now, let me caution you here. Don't go and find the verse that when you have an enemy that says, Lord, smite your enemy. And I'm just saying, you know, but if we want to praise God, boy, just open up the Psalms. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We can read his word and praise him through his word. And then when we know we have a burden in our heart, we can cry out to God and say, God, I know you are faithful because your word says you are faithful. And we can remind him of his promises. Not that he needs to be reminded, but it's us being reminded of what God has already promised that he would do. The word not only reveals his nature to us, but it shows us how to praise him. Those gathered in that room began to quote from Psalm 146:6, and this was a reminder from the psalmist that God is the creator, and I'm sure this was an encouragement to them to remember that the one that they were praying to was and is the creator of all the universe is reassuring. After all, why should those of us who are created in his image fear anything when he loves us so much? There is nothing that he cannot overcome. Then they move to quote a psalm that speaks of David and then ultimately the Messiah from Psalm 2, as David was a shadow of the substance to come in Christ. David faced his enemies but was able to overcome because of God's power. These young Christians saw Christ as someone who had come to save the people but was ridiculed and ultimately crucified by the rulers of the world. This passage has its ultimate fulfillment at the end of time when all the enemies of God rise up against him and he wipes them out with one final blow. But it is unlikely that they understood that in their day, but they knew that they could not go wrong in building their prayer upon the cornerstone of God's word, upon his truth. A lot of times we have a hard time praying in God's will because of our own selfishness. Because of our own sinfulness, we allow things in our life not to drive us to his word, but instead to drive us to our own thoughts or other people that we think will agree with us. If you want a solid foundation, it can only be found in God's word. Listen, even the most well-meaning person won't necessarily give you solid truth the way the word of God will. You know, I know this is going to come as a surprise, but there have been occasions in my life when I've gotten it wrong. This week. God's word is batting 1,000. Because it is the God of this word that holds this word together. This is his word. This is his story. This is his truth to us. I even like the way it's been put so many times. This is his love letter to us. And we can trust his word. We can trust what he says to us. True prayer is not twisting God's arm to do our will, as if we could twist his arm. True prayer is allowing God to change our hearts so that we'll do what it is that he wants us to do. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know what I see too much of today? People like the last part of that and don't understand the first part of that. The Bible says God will give me the desires of my heart. That's an if-then statement. If you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. The problem is we don't want to delight in the Lord because we don't understand what that means. We need to spend time in his word. We need to spend time with him in prayer. And as we're pursuing him, as we're delighting in him, as we're realizing that he is the center of everything, then he will give us the desires of our heart. The problem is we want the desires of our heart to be our desires and not his desires. You see, I won't understand the right desires unless I pursue him. And the thing is, when I pursue him, he will put his desires in my heart so that even as I'm praying in his will because I've already pursued him and I'm delighting in him and what I'm praying is what he put on my heart to pray in the first place. As you take time to pray this week, seek God's word and build prayer based on his word. Ask God to set the attitude of your heart so that you can know his will. Ask him to help you become permeated by his word so that you become a living, breathing, praying reflection of who he is. So the first element that we need to have is the concern to pray. The second element of prayer is the cornerstone upon which to pray. The third element of prayer is the confidence to pray. Peter and John and the others had confidence to pray because they knew God is sovereign. He's on the throne. Folks, listen, you know, it's so easy when we see things around us to become very disturbed by it, to sort of wander around and wring our hands and say, what is coming of this world? What is going to happen? I mean, honestly, I'm 52 years old. If you'd have told me at 22 that we'd see some of the things happening in our country that are happening, some of the things that we've condoned in our country that we've condoned, some of the things that we celebrate that God calls sin, 30 years ago I'd have said, you are out of your mind. That'll never happen. But do you know who was not surprised? God. Don't be mistaken. Everything is happening. God knew it was happening. God knew it would come. God has a plan. He hasn't just backed out like some deism clockmaker and said, just let it tick down. God is still in control. He is still on the throne, and we can count on that. But the things that happened with the life of Christ happened the way that they did because God said it would. God prophesied that these things would happen. My son will come to this town. He'll be born of a virgin. His death will play out like this. Hundreds of years before he came. The last prophet spoke 400 years before Christ came. And it all came down exactly like God wanted it to happen, exactly like God intended it to happen. And all those who were part of this, all those who crucified the Messiah, they were a part of God's plan. They were accomplishing God's will, and that's what Peter and John and the others understood, that God is in control. These men prayed for confidence to continue doing what had already gotten them in trouble. Let that wash over you for just a second. I just got out of jail for preaching the gospel, but I'm going to pray for boldness to keep preaching the gospel. Listen, I don't know, it may come to that one day in these United States. Are we going to be bold enough to continue proclaiming the truth when they try to tell us to stop it? It's already here, folks. It's already here. They're trying to shut Christians up from proclaiming the truth. And the problem is, so many times what they know about Christianity is a caricature of Christianity. It is not the truth of Christianity. That's why you and I need to be living examples. That's why you and I need to be salt and light. They need to see people who will love them where they are, who will not condemn them, but instead who will love them and point them to the truth. God can change lives. we can be confident in our prayers. Confidence is an interesting thing. It's amazing how it can have such an impact on how we do certain things. I think about athletes. Athletes have to have a level of confidence in what they do to be able to do it. I was never a great athlete, but I always enjoyed sports. And when I was younger, when I was a little less heavy, and my knees were better, and my back was better, I enjoyed playing basketball. And I was never great at basketball, and I didn't play high school basketball, but I loved to play, and I've never been afraid to shoot. I liked shooting the basketball, and despite my size, I preferred to be outside. I didn't mind being under the goal and banging around a little bit under the goal. For those of you who've never played basketball, basketball is a contact sport. I'm just telling you. Especially if you're going to be under the goal, it's a contact sport. But I like shooting three-pointers. And I wasn't always great at it, but I didn't mind shooting. And it never hurt my feelings to miss. I'd keep shooting. But I will tell you this. When I played on teams that the other guys wanted me to keep shooting, it gave me confidence. I shot better because they wanted me to shoot. Isn't it amazing how confidence can impact? Folks, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to be confident that he wants to hear from us, that he will receive us, that we can enter his presence, and he is going to answer our prayers. Now, I get it. Sometimes we pray about something and we don't think God's answering, but I can promise you this, God answers in three ways all the time. One of three ways: yes, no, and wait. I don't like wait. Just tell me yes or no. I'm not patient. And let me tell you, I do not ever pray for patience. I did that once. I got over it. You pray for patience. Everything that day will test your patience. I pray for endurance instead. But we need to pray with confidence for God to give us the boldness to share his word. Now listen, God hadn't given everybody the gift of evangelism, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to share. That doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to pray for those around us that we know that are lost. And we must keep praying in confidence, knowing that God's word says it is his heart that none should perish, that none should die. Again, I remind you that this guy, Peter, was the same one who denied Christ a short time earlier, but he spoke boldly to the religious leaders of his day. He told them they were murderers, and they were the builders that rejected the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, Christ. That's strong. That took confidence. Realize that God is sovereign and that he's in control of everything that is going on around us, and we can trust it all to him. We can have confidence when we come before him and seek him in prayer. The first element we need to have is the concern to pray. The second element of prayer that we see here is the cornerstone upon which to pray. And the third element of prayer is the confidence to pray. But finally, I want you to see the fourth element of prayer is the courage to pray. Let me caution you. When you begin to pray and seek God's face, things will happen. When you become a powerful prayer warrior for the kingdom of God, the enemy will attack you. Now, it'll begin subtle. He'll give you every reason not to have time to pray. He'll make it convenient for you to overlook prayer. And listen, folks, we have plenty of things to disturb us from prayer. I know none of you have smartphones or use them in any way, shape, or form. But we have things that can keep us from prayer. I know none of you have televisions in your home. You never watch that stuff. But we have things that can keep us from prayer. I know none of you have tablets or computers in your home. But we have things that can keep us from prayer. But you see, here's the thing. If none of those things existed, the enemy still would put things before us to keep us from prayer. Because he knows that a praying people of God, impact him in a powerful way. When we seek God's face, when we're on our knees before God, great things happen. I saw a post on Facebook yesterday. It said, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. When we are willing to get before God and pursue Him in prayer, and listen, prayer, you know, I firmly believe there ought to be times when we're on our knees in prayer. I firmly believe that. I know for me there are times when I need to be on my knees in prayer, and I realize for some of you that's physically impossible. I'm not suggesting that you get on your knees in prayer if it's physically impossible, but you can humble yourself before God. But can I tell you, there are also other ways to pray. You don't have to necessarily be on your knees. One of the things that I found recently about myself is that I kind of like to be standing and looking out at nature as I pray. There's just something about that makes me connect with God, for me personally, even more so than kneeling in prayer. That's not to say that I'm not going to neglect kneeling in prayer, but there's something about standing up and looking at God's creation and being reminded of Him, especially in praise. Boy, we got plenty of great creation to look at around us. Does God really listen when I pray? I want to tell you emphatically, without question, yes. He does listen when you pray. The same God who shook that room that day and filled them with the Holy Spirit is the same God that you and I pray to today. Folks, I got to tell you, the reason He hasn't shook the room here at Pleasant Grove is because we haven't been driven to our knees the way they were. He hasn't changed. We have. We're not empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit because we're not seeking Him the way that they did. We want to see God move in a powerful way. It's up to us. God's ready. He wants to pour out His Spirit on you. He wants to pour out His Spirit on this church and move forward in this community in a powerful and mighty way, but not for our glory, for His. Anything that ever points to us is not of God, but everything that points to Him is. God heard their prayers, and He hears and answers our prayers. They prayed for the confidence to speak His word, and God gave them boldness. They began to proclaim His word with boldness. They had an infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak His word more boldly than they ever had before. That's what happens when we come before God and we beg Him to empower us to speak His word. He wants to. He will. Here's one of the problems. God will only fill us as much as we give Him room to fill us. Even though He could force Himself upon you, He does not. Because He loves you. And He only wants as much of you as you're willing. He will only occupy as much of you as you're willing to give Him. Now, He wants all of you. But He won't force Himself upon you. So are you willing to let God empower you? Are you willing to let Him fill you? Do you have the courage to pray bold prayers before God? That lost family member, that lost neighbor, that lost coworker, that lost friend, do you have the boldness to go before God and say, God, I know You want to save them. God, help me speak boldly to them. Now listen. I am not telling you that you ought to open up the fire hose of God's word on their life and force it into them. Because you can't save anybody, God can. But I am telling you, there is nothing wrong with praying for God to work in their life and for God to use you in their life. And be sensitive to His leadership as you share with them. Sometimes it may be as simple as saying, boy, God really blessed me today, and let me tell you how. And you'd be surprised how many people are kind of shy away from hearing God's word, will listen to you tell them how God has blessed you. Because the truth is, they know something's missing. They know something's missing. And when they hear you proclaim how God has worked in your life, that rattles around in their head, and somewhere back there they're going, could that be true? Could that be real? And then pray for God to give you that opportunity to tell them how they can know him, how they can have that relationship with him. I've said it multiple times. I'm going to continue to say it. I hope and pray you have a list of lost people you're praying for by name. If you don't, please, one or two or three at least, write them down. Put them somewhere where you'll see it and pray for them. Pray for them. They need to know Christ. If you know Christ today, somebody prayed for you. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. I know my parents were praying for me to come to know Christ. There's somebody out there that you know that needs somebody like you interceding between heaven and hell for them, praying for God to work in their life. Lift them up to the Lord. Does God hear when we pray? Absolutely. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you emphatically, Christ left heaven and came to earth to die in your place. He took your sin upon himself so you wouldn't have to spend your eternity in hell. The good news is he will hear your prayer if you will cry out to him in repentance and ask him into your life. He will save you. He's already paid the price. He's already made the way possible. Would you trust him today? Christian, I don't know what concerns you may have. I don't know what's burdening you right now, but I know God can handle it. Whatever it is, so would you trust it to him right now? Would you just come before him and say, God, I need your help here. Maybe you don't have a concern or a burden right now. Things are going great right now in your life. But every one of us here knows someone who's lost. During this invitation time, would you pray for them? Can you imagine how much it'd tick Satan off if this church full of folks was praying for lost people right now? I want to tick him off today because he's a loser and a punk. But I serve a risen Savior, a holy God, who can overcome any enemy. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for your love. God, I thank you that even as I stand here talking right now to you, Lord, it just blows my mind that the portals of heaven are open and you're listening and you care about a prayer from a sinner like me. God, I am so overwhelmed by your presence and so unworthy. God, for anyone here today that doesn't know you, I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness, they'd trust in you. Lord, I lift those men I've been praying for to come to know you, to you right now. I ask you to work in their heart. God, give me opportunities to tell them once again about you. God, whatever hurts, whatever burdens might be here today, I pray we'd have the wisdom to trust it to you. Do whatever you need to do in our hearts right now for us to be in tune with you. It's in your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.